listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
Find me in your mercy, Lord. Align me till I'm wholly yours. In all the hidden places.
Do you know that you're one of the Lord's treasured possessions? Malachi 3:16 and 17 says in part that those who feared the Lord and honored his name will become his treasured possession. Welcome to Hidden Places, where you'll hear stories, testimonies, and casual conversations from believers just like you who make up the Lord's treasured possession. Each one of us has a unique story to tell, and during this hour, the Lord wants to bring forth those treasures out of the hidden places. Amen. Good morning. This is Karen Hubbard, and I'm your host here at Hidden Places every Friday at 11 a.m. And I'm just so happy that you've joined us today. And I'm here with one of my co-hosts, Nanette Maldonado.
Good morning.
Good morning. And Deanne had to work today, so you won't be hearing from her. Neither will we. And so we hope that she'll be back next week. And so the word of the day is toggle. That was the word the Lord gave me. I was with some friends last week, and one of them mentioned the word toggle, and just kind of quickly was saying, you know, I feel like I'm just toggling between a couple of things here, and I hadn't even thought about that word until this morning, so that it just popped up in my spirit. So I was asking the Lord, should I talk about toggling today? And
I got a confirmed
yes on that.
Yes.
So for those that don't know what the word toggle means, it means to switch or alternate between two different options, states, or settings, usually by pressing a single button or a key or making a single choice. And it also means to change something from one state to its opposite or another available state. So if you know, like on your keyboard, you know, if you press the shift key, you know, it causes it to do something else. But we're talking about between the flesh and the spirit. This is what the Lord is put on my heart.
Mm-hmm.
That we you know, when we're born again, we're born anew, and our spirit comes alive in Christ Jesus. So The word tells us that, you know, we no longer live according to the dictates of the flesh. But we all know that that's a very difficult thing to do. So that's what our Christian walk is all about, is toggling between what we're hearing from the Lord and what's actually happening in the flesh. You know, and as we day by day yield to the Holy Spirit, then, you know, we our spirit man will grow, but we're constantly toggling back and forth. I don't think there's anybody that's like fully living in the spirit 99% of the time. So anyway, but when the brother said this, I'm like, wow. So you can just kind of check it out, like look at how often you're toggling and when are you toggling. I just thought about my own life. I seem to notice that when I'm in a period of growth, that the toggling becomes very crazy, back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause you're hearing from the Lord, but then you got to do this, and then the enemy's trying to keep you and pull you back. So, you know, we know that our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against those powers and principalities and rulers of darkness and spiritual wickedness in high places, which is part of the flesh. And anyway, I'm going to look at my notes here. Yeah, so Ephesians 6:10, talking about putting on the armor of God. We live, about not wrestling. We're wrestling with the flesh and blood. We live in the world, but we're not of the world. And that's the whole thing. I know for years, until I really surrendered to the Lord, I always felt like I was doing stuff. You know, like you hear something or you read something, but you don't have a full understanding or a revelation. So.
Right.
So your flesh, you're trying to just deal with it in your flesh. And, you know, we know that the flesh wars against the spirit. So anyway, I wrote here, we toggle when we are processing what is going on. So for me, it's at times of growth. It's when the Lord is trying to bring you out into something else. You know, then that battle starts because the enemy is trying to keep you from moving forward. And if we can just hang in there during the process, then the devil loses. He's already lost anyway, but
oh yeah,
we still have to walk it out.
We do.
And I feel like now we're in a time of growth and advancement. I feel like I am personally. So absolutely. I would imagine that there's other people, you know, even here at the radio station, we're getting ready to put our new system online.
Mm.
And I've been working on that. It's almost a year now. You know, Jonathan and I, we've had a couple of hours of training with the creator of the system. And, you know, we're trying to look at it from the old one that we're using. You know, because I know this old system by heart. So, you know, after 9 years, I figured it out. And so now as we've gone to the new one, the concept is the same, but the execution of how you get the stuff in there is different.
Mm.
And it has many more features that we don't have in the old system. So anyway, I'm in this time of, you know, just testing the waters. And We put it online the other day and found out that two things were playing at the same time. So, you know, we have to iron out these little kinks and stuff. But everything that's happening in the natural for me, and I think all of us, is what's happening in the spirit. You know, there's things that overlap, and, you know, as we begin to move forward where the Lord has us. You know, I heard somebody say once that the kingdom of God, you know, we know the kingdom is within us, but his kingdom is now, but it's not yet. It's both of those things. It's now because he lives within us, but the fullness of the kingdom is not yet until he returns and we're with him. Let's see, what else do I have here?
You got lots.
I do. So anyway, I might be skipping around, but we'll... As we begin to talk it out, it'll make sense. So as the Lord was showing me, or talking to me about this stuff with the toggling, you know, with the Ephesians 6 about putting on the armor of God, you know, we put it on and then we stand, right? We don't put it on and fight. We put it on and stand. Because after we've done everything that we know what to do, so let's go there to Ephesians 6:10 says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then with the belt of truth. Sorry, my eyes are moving faster than my brain. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And we always forget this part, pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. And anyway, so you know, the different pieces of armor are, you know, talks about that here. Like in my notes, that the belt of truth is symbolic clothing of the Messiah, as in Isaiah 11:5. And then the righteousness is Isaiah 59:17. But anyway, putting on that armor daily is our defense against what the enemy is trying to keep us from doing. Jesus already secured the victory, and this, the armor, all parts of the armor, is what enables us to move forward in him and toggle, because we still have to toggle to get there to that place where we can stand in him. And
I just want to, before we move further, you know, as you're talking about the armor, you know, I'm writing some things down that, you know, I'm getting these little snippets as he's breathing on this. You know, when we put our armor, you know, and I'm just talking literally, right? Let's just go literally, you know, in terms of our history, when the armor was worn, you know, every opposing kind of the people that were fighting, let's say, against each other, you know, two opposing sides, they wore pretty much the same thing, right? They had to wear helmets, they had to wear a breastplate, you know, they had to wear boots, they had to, it looked similar. But it was distinctive, and they were distinguished according to the armor as they were fighting against each other, right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, as you were speaking, I was like, armor. It says, you know, what side are you on? Okay, so we know when we wear the armor of God, we're saying we are on the side of Jesus, mm-hmm. right? We belong to Jesus. And then I started thinking, who and what and where we represent. Again, when we're wearing that armor, we represent Jesus. We're coming from that heavenly place, as described, right? And where are we going? Where are we fighting from? We're fighting from a place of victory. And where are we going, right?
Right.
And so, and it's interesting how you were mentioning again about the pieces of armor and what they represent. Guys, it's also revealing the weapons. As we're wearing that armor, it reveals the weapons. The weapons from that place of right standing with God. The righteousness of God that covers us. Praying in the Spirit, right? Standing, coming from a place of surety. Standing on the rock of our foundation. The weapon of praise, the weapon of thanksgiving, the weapon. For me, that's what it embodies so much when we're wearing this armor. And so I just wanted to interject with that, with the snippets that I was receiving just by you talking, Karen, just by you simply just talking. I'm getting that. And that's like, wow, that is so profound. Do we really know what we're wearing?
Yeah, exactly. You know, scripture tells us to put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's all of these pieces in one way or another.
Yes.
He's all of them, so we put him on.
Yeah.
And then we're standing in him.
Yeah.
Because our lives are no longer our own.
Yeah.
You know, we live in him. We live and move and have our being in him. And I for me, the armor is just this great depiction of, like you can see it.
Yes.
You see it in the natural. It's not some, you know, ethereal thing.
The enemy sees it.
Yes.
The enemy sees it on us. And he knows who he's dealing with.
Absolutely.
When we have it on.
And, since we're talking about that, you know, I have, you know, most days I'll, you know, kind of in my prayer time, I'll, like, mentally, you know, put on the armor. Just, you know, go piece by piece and put it on. And then I cover myself in the blood. But, you know, on the days that I forget to do that, it's like there's havoc. You know, it really happens. Because if you're not prepared, that would be like I saw a thing on Instagram yesterday, a lady that she said works from home, so when she goes to take the trash out, you know, she's got her night clothes on and just looks all scruffy and everything. And it's probably not a good analogy, but it was funny to me. So she gets out the door and then here's, you know, the landlord's really handsome grandson out there. You know, and he's waving to her and stuff. And, you know, so she wasn't looking her best. So, but that's how, you know, people would see us if we're not covered, if we're not clothed with him. We're clothed because we're, you know, we've been saved, but we leave ourselves vulnerable.
Mm.
You know, when we're not, I think when we're not consciously aware of, you know, pleading the blood, covering ourselves in the blood, and I think we can get easily picked off.
Oh yeah.
And the enemy's waiting for you to mess up and do something, and then before you know it, you're like way over there because you didn't have that piece of the armor on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the key is to be consistent, but when we don't, when we're not consistent, again, you know, he uses everything for our good, right? You know, he uses everything for our good. And I believe we truly get to that point that we become it. So it's like it's automatic. Like you walk in that. You know what I mean? You walk in that revelatory journey with him, just knowing. You know, you get to a point that it's on. Mm-hmm. It's on you. You know it. And you walk in it. And I think your lifestyle it's a big indication, you know, and a portrayal of who you're living for and what you're living for. And so I believe if we have a lifestyle that backs, you know, that backs it up. I think it's a dual kind of thing, you know, where we do need to live a life representing that, a life knowing that.
Amen. You know, back to the toggling situation.
Oh, gosh.
So then,
that's a big one.
Yeah, so what I'm thinking about in that is, you know, enduring hardship. You know, the word tells us to endure hardship like a good soldier.
That's right.
You know, because we are soldiers in the Lord's army. And a lot of people need endurance. You know, I think it's in Hebrews, you know, says you have need for endurance.
That's right.
And, you know, but with my military experience, if you're a non-hacker, you know, they're going to, like, maybe discharge you. You know, if you're not able to keep up, the Lord doesn't throw us out. He doesn't discard us. But maybe you won't experience the fullness of what he has for you. I heard somebody the other day say, oh, well, you know, I'm already, you know, whatever age, they're in their 70s. Well, you know, I really don't have anything to live for. There's nothing really going on. And I was like, wait a minute, you know. You don't think the Lord put you here for this exact time? You know, that you were born in this time rather than back in the dark ages when a lot of people died very early. You know, but God has given you this life, this long life, and you're not leaving until you're done with what he has planned for you.
Mm.
And they said, well, he doesn't have any plans for me.
And wow.
I said, yeah, he absolutely does.
Yeah.
You know, maybe you've run out of options, but he has plans for you. And anyway, I don't know why I diverted to that. Oh, about the next thing the Lord told me is about being bound and determined. Are you bound and determined to fulfill whatever the Lord put you here on earth for? You have to be bound and determined. I don't believe it's just going to happen willy-nilly. You know, you just cruise through life and you don't put any effort in. But if you're bound and determined, then, you know, the Lord's going to ensure that you will fulfill his plans and maybe even more. I don't know, maybe some people think, well, the Lord's already got it all mapped out, which he does. He has our lives. You know, he knows what we're going to do, what we won't do. But I know in some things I want to go further than I really think I can. You know, like I dare to believe that I can do something that I wasn't able to do before. So then that brings you into another place. And when you're bound and determined to do in this life through Christ Jesus, not only what he has for you to do, but to accomplish great things for him and even for yourself, you know. We have personal goals. We have stuff that we want to do. So bound and determined, that's having a very strong feeling that one is going to do something and not allow anyone or anything to get in the way. And you're very determined. And then to break up the two words, bound is a strong commitment or intention to do something, implying a sense of obligation or inevitability. And determined means having a strong desire and resolve to do something, even in the face of obstacles or challenges. And it's synonymous with being driven, persistent, set on, steadfast, and unwavering. Now, we've heard all of those words in Scripture. You know, be steadfast, that's unmovable, right. Unshakable.
Unwavering.
Unwavering, mm-hmm. Yeah. And anyway, I think maybe the point the Lord is trying to say is keep pushing, keep moving forward.
Yes,
don't give up.
Mm-hmm.
Just don't give up. You know, I think of when I was in the military, we had to do physical training every week. And, it was easy to do it because you were with everybody else. So you weren't, you know, doing it on your own. But we, every 6 months you would have to do the physical training test. So they had the standards. You had to do sit-ups, push-ups, run a mile and a half. And there was one more thing. Forget what it was. That's all you had to do. But you had to do it within a certain time frame. So the running part of it, I wasn't really fond of that at all. And so, you know, I'd just do the best I could. But all the while that I'm running, I'm like, even if I make it like 2 seconds before the end, I'm still in. You know, and if I could just do that, I'd be happy. But it was really hard for me to do that, and especially with when I ran the one test, and the girl, I was in last place, and I was like, I can't be in last place, I can't. And the girl that was in front of me was, you know, quite a bit heavier than myself, and I'm like, I can't let her beat me. And that was my thing. I was bound and determined. It had nothing to do with her, but it was just like internally, that was the thing. I've got to go past her. And I did right at the end. You know, I was like maybe one step in front of her, but I didn't come in last.
Wow.
But it didn't matter whether you were last or not. You just had to, beat the time.
Yeah. And it's like, against adversity, what's going to rise up in you?
Yes.
And so,
are you going to roll over and die and cry and curl up?
I'm thinking about my week, I'm thinking about my month, boy, when I look back, I go, wow, this is the very thing that was, these things that were coming against me, right? it got me to the place of whatever is in me needs to rise up.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever is in me needs to come out. And I was, like you said, bound and determined to say, no, God, you've taught me how to war. You've
right.
taught me how to stand in my position. You've taught me what to do when Satan starts blowing those arrows
mm-hmm.
into, you know, my home, into myself, you know. And I praise God right now, and I'm so thankful that what came out of me is that place of get up and fight.
Yeah.
Stop taking this. Stop taking this and get up and fight.
Mm-hmm.
And the word started coming out of me. The sword, right? That's the word. The word started coming out of me and coming against the accusations and the lies of our adversary. And I stopped taking it. But for a moment there, it was just, I was like letting it come in. And then
right.
I caught myself, that bound and that determination just came out from me and said, fight,
mm-hmm.
what are you doing? It was like, wake up. And this person that you were having this conversation with, I was saying, you know, oh, there's nothing left.
Right.
There's nothing left for me to do. I'm just waiting, you know. We have to be careful right now, because that is an indication that you have grown lukewarm.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to be careful with that. His scriptures are very clear when the Lord says he will spit you out. You know, and this is not a time, and it's so easy for us to get lukewarm. And so how do we come against that? You know, how do we come against being lukewarm? And like you said, stay consistent. Stay
mm-hmm.
consistent in him. What is going to add that fire to your life? You know?
Right.
Is God requiring more thankfulness? Is God requiring
mm-hmm.
more worship in your life? More sacrifice? More obedience? A laying down of something? What is it? Do it. Like you said, I am determined not to let this other person, like for me to be the last,
mm-hmm.
like let me be at least before the
right.
last one. Let me make it, you know, skimming for time, but let me make it.
Mm-hmm.
That should be our goal. Let me make it. And even more, like you said, I want to go further.
Right.
I do. I want to go further. I want to be one of the first.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I don't want to be like barely making it.
We call them stragglers.
Yeah.
They're just kind of moseying on,
yeah,
way
yeah,
in the back.
Yeah, and I've been that. I remember my husband does the torch runs and stuff. And he said, babe, why don't you join me? You know, he wanted my daughter and I to join. And I was like, babe, I haven't ran forever. Like, no, look, no. I mean, and so in your line of work, you're always running. I said, nah, I'm not going to. And, you know, I said, well, we'll try and we'll walk. Man, we were like the very, very end. I was so embarrassed,
aww.
You know. But the point is, you know, you try, you know. But again, it showed me, man, where am I at? Even symbolically speaking, right?
Mm-hmm.
In the spirit, where am I at? I don't want to be like lagging away, you know, like, okay, or giving up and saying, I can't do
mm-hmm.
that. I can't run.
Right.
Oh gosh, that's just a scary thought, you know.
I know. It was like the Ironman triathlon.
Forget it. No.
You know, so those people that, you know, it's pitch blackout and they're still making their way in. But you know, there's people there cheering them on.
Yes,
and
that's key. That's key.
Yep. And they bound and determined to make it through. Some have crawled across that finish line,
you know. Yeah. And it's key for to be those that applaud them.
Exactly.
To be there.
Yeah.
To be those to encourage them and to like, no, come on. And that's so valuable in
mm-hmm.
the body of Christ for us to be that cheerleader,
right.
You know, applauding them, telling them that they can make it, they can do it.
Right. And just stay bound and determined that you're going to finish the race. You know, as Paul talks about, just keep your eyes on the finish line.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, be bound and determined, endure hardship.
Mm.
You know, that's a thing, I guess the Lord maybe has taught me that over the years about hardship. You know, what's hardship for me may not be what's hardship for you. And,
yeah.
But whatever the hardship, you know, he will enable you to overcome.
Yes, he will.
And to go through that hardship, whether it's a physical limitation.
Yes, he will.
You know, mental limitation, could be anything. You know, he's there to bring us through and to, you know, carry us when we can't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
But it's we still have to do it for ourselves. You know, I follow this family on Facebook. They've got 6 kids now, and the parents are very active. They take the kids on trips. They know how to fly in the airplane. They're just really good kids. You know, they'll take them out to restaurants and just do all kinds of stuff with the kids. So they, like the other day, they posted, they were taking a walk in the woods somewhere. So all the kids are, you know, they're walking on the logs that fell, and, you know, different things are all at different areas. But, you know, they love it, and they're just going along. And I forgot the point I was trying to make, but...
It's actually a beautiful picture, just going along, you know, and following the parent. And
yeah.
And for us, who is our parent?
Yeah, so the parents, I'm saying the parents are not going to walk for you.
Right.
You know, they got the little, I think she's only a year.
Mm.
So she's just been walking for 3 months now.
Trolloting.
Yeah, she, you know, she's walking, so, you know, every once in a while, the dad will pick her up and go a few steps, and then he puts her back down again.
Oh gosh, miss those days.
But yeah, so he's not gonna he'll carry her when she needs to be carried.
That's right.
And then he'll put her back down, and then she's exercising her legs and stuff.
So. Yeah. Yeah, and you know, I think the father is always willing to carry their child no matter how old they get, you know.
Right.
There's times where Adrian's like, come on, hop on my back. And Ariel's like, oh, Dad, I'm a lot heavier now, you know, but she'll do it. And yet he's still strong enough to kind of hold her on his back. I love seeing that. So I think about our dad, you know, our Father God, you know, how he too says, come on, hop on my back.
That's right. But he wants to see you,
yeah,
being bound and determined,
yes,
to push through obstacles.
That's right. Yeah. But he's such a loving and merciful God. And I soak in that, you know, especially when you said about enduring hardships, you know, and how the Lord was showing you that, and the Lord was showing me, you know, about suffering,
mm-hmm,
you know, and how he's been, as of lately, just the emphasis again on the famous Job, how many of us just love that part of the Bible.
Right.
But I think we need to take a break, huh?
We do. So we'll be back in a minute.
There is no doubt we live in chaotic times. Just listen to the news, if you dare. The world is a battleground for spiritual warfare. If what you see or hear in the news frustrates you or makes you fearful, then you need something beyond the news. You need the good news. You need to hear and embrace the Word of God. We are beginning a new live program on Tuesday, December the 3rd at 11 a.m., and it will air live every Tuesday. We call it a biblical response. It's designed to look closely at some of the hot-button issues impacting our culture. We will view them through the lens of biblical truth, the Word of God, not just exposing the meaning of today's evil events, but giving us a clear understanding of how to address them. Every Tuesday on WCNO at 11 a.m., a biblical response to the issues of the day. D. Do you know what happens every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO Christian Radio? News and views to edify the body of Christ. Exciting authors, pastors, teachers, folks invested in richly blessed ministries where the church meets the world. God is doing things you want to hear about. That's Wednesday Live, airing every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO 89.9 FM. Every Monday, we will bring you stories from the front line of ministry, ordinary people doing extraordinary things for God. We will redefine where the front line is, from risky missions to comfortable caring, always with the invitation for you, the listener, to look for the front line in your life. Tune in to 89.9 FM every Monday at 11 a.m. Get on the front line.
Okay, we are back, and so we're kind of talking about enduring hardships as a good soldier, and you're talking a little bit about suffering and all the things that we go through this in life. You know, in this world, we will have tribulation, but Jesus said, be of good cheer, because I have overcome, and because he overcame, we can overcome.
Amen.
But the stuff is still there. Hardship is there. And, you know, I think we're coming up. Well, you know, we're hearing it's the worst of times and it's the best of times. For those that don't know the Lord, it's going to be not a good time for them. But for those that do know God, you know, we know that he's faithful, that he will take care of us. But there will be tough times coming, I believe. And, you know, maybe that's why the Lord's having us talk about this, that, you know, to help prepare.
Yes.
You know, it's just don't give up in the middle of the, whatever the battle is that you're going through. Just don't give up on it. Just, you know that he's with you and just keep surrendering. Keep turning it over to him. And at some point in time, like the net, you know, that like that, the word will begin to rise up in you, to where you're going to be able to fight, you know, for yourself, you know, with the word that he's given you.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
With the scripture, so.
Yeah. So, you know, going back to Job, you know, the story of Job, you know, it's interesting, you know, when we think about, especially when it says in 2 Timothy 2:12, it says, if we suffer, we shall also reign with him, right? Mm-hmm. We're always talking about reigning with God, the desires we have, right, to like reign with him. But, you know, there's a connection between suffering and qualifying to reign, you know, with him. And so I've also been in Romans. Romans 8 especially has marked my life like never before. Mm-hmm. And it says in Romans 8, 17 through 18, it says, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. And so there will be persecution and suffering, okay? And so, but it's preparing us for great things.
Amen.
Okay? And just this little snippet, it says the story of Job. It says the Bible tells us of the story of a man God wished to bless. However, little God could only bring him into a larger place. And hear me, this is so profound and is so true in our lives. He can only bring him into a larger place through suffering. This story was put in the Bible as an example of how God uses suffering in order to bless us. It says Job went through great suffering. Through this suffering, God was able to bring him to a place where he qualified for advancement in the kingdom of God.
Hallelujah.
So it's there's this suffering tied to the requirement in order to reign with him, in order to be advanced, to be advancing.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be times in our life that there's going to be different forms of suffering, guys. And so how are we going to walk those out?
Right. Well, you know, this just popped into my mind. So you have people that go through suffering and they're miserable and they're bitter and resentful and, you know, nobody wants to be around them, people like that. But then there's people like this. I just saw a YouTube video, I guess it's from, I don't know how many years ago, about a skydiver that they were all done for the day, and then I guess this lady came in and wanted to go, you know, do a tandem dive, her first time. And everybody's like, oh, you know, we just want to go home.
Done for the day.
Yeah. So then they asked this one guy, you know, can you go ahead and take her, just, you know, just go up real quick, you know, do one jump, and then, you know, we can go home after that. The guy was like, yeah, sure, I guess. Of course, you know, they said she was an older lady, and I don't even think she was 50 yet.
Wow.
But anyway, but this was several, you know, couple,
hey,
started 20 years ago.
50? Are
right.
you kidding me?
But anyway, so they go up on the dive, the skydive. So they jump out of the plane, you know, so she's on the front there. And then the parachutes got tangled up. And the guy was like, oh, you know, the lady was like, you know, does this happen? Is this okay? And he's like, yeah, you know, we'll figure it out. And
oh,
he was
gosh.
Just freaking out, you know, because he's like, there was just a lot going on. So his chute and her chute, the strings were tangled up. So then he decides he's going to deploy the emergency one. So then that added insult to injury.
Man.
So then the third one got tangled up with it. So he's like doing what he could, holding on to those ropes and trying to steer. So in his mind, he's like, okay, so if I do this, then it won't be such a hard landing. You know, we can at least,
oh man,
you know, maybe we'll break
That's
a leg
intense.
Or something. Yeah, so
oh, break a leg. Yeah.
So he's going through all this stuff in his mind, and he said she was relatively calm, but she kept saying, oh, you know, is this okay? And he's like, yeah, we'll figure it out. But I guess anyway, so they ended up, bam, crashed to the ground, and he is paralyzed from the neck down. And,
gosh.
You know, because, but he managed. I just want to cry because he said, I can't allow this woman to die with her family watching. Oh, man.
Oh.
So he turned it to where he took the impact, you know, for her. But that was his thought. I can't bear to watch, to let her family see her die right in front of them. So anyway, so he ended up, you know, from the neck down, paralyzed. And she had some spinal injuries and stuff, but she recovered. So anyway, but they've been friends for life. But the whole thing in the story is that the guy, oh my word, he's just as happy as a clam, you know, and he just like took it in stride. And, you know, he's like, yeah, well, you know, it was a little bit hard, you know, it took me, you know, so many years to be able to, you know, feed myself, and you know, and then it took another 10 years to be able to do this. But oh my word, his attitude was just so amazing. And you know, whether he was a believer or not, I don't know, but that's the example. So you can, you know, God has to allow you to do that. You have to surrender. You can't fight that.
But, wow.
But that it was such a,
I know,
I want to go watch it again. Because
I haven't heard that story, and you left me like in the end, like, wow.
I know.
Wow. Like,
I know. The lady, but they've been friends. You know, I mean,
I'm sure, yeah, they
she's
have
She's married,
beautiful,
yeah, but
powerful connection.
Yeah, but he's just happy there in his apartment or his house, whatever, and he's still learning how to do stuff. And, he just says everything very matter-of-fact. Oh, yeah, well, you know, yeah, that's today. So today I might do this or that. Really amazing.
Mm,
but anyway, I guess the point is, you know, as believers, every believer, you know, people should see Jesus in us, even in the midst of our sufferings.
Yeah, because he suffered the most. Prowess, you know, death, and he took upon his body like unbelievable, like pain and, you know, the curse and everything that we could not bear and do for ourselves.
Right. Yeah, he did it for us.
Wow.
So we know that when we're in the midst of suffering or hardships or temptations, everything that we face in life, you know, he's there to help us and with us. He doesn't leave us on our own to deal with it.
Yeah, you know, this is why it even says, this is interesting, it's like the flow here, because it says, you know, in Psalm 119, 67, it says, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word." And it says, "Don't waste your troubles, make them stepping stones to greater glory. Pain tempers the soul, making it pliable and receptive to greater levels in God." It says, "You may say, but it is not God's will for me to be in pain. Jesus bore our pain so that we could be free." That is true. However, sometimes pain is the only way that God can condition us to receive greater blessing. God does not afflict us, but he can and does, when necessary, allow the enemy to afflict us in order to bring us again to a place where we hear what God is saying to us and what he wants of us. And again, that's just illustrated in the life of Job. And the scripture that this gentleman references is Job 33:14-26. But it says, when, at the end of it all, he says this statement, "When the work of suffering has finished, great healing comes and a new place in God is achieved." A new place in God is achieved. And that's also Romans 8:18, "For I reckon that the sufferings," again, right, "of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." I don't know, it's just something about this pain, this time when, you know, when so many people are suffering, you know, they are, fellow brothers and sisters in some way. But like you said, we have the Lord, and we have his word, and we have the victory, and we have eternity. And that's what I was saying the other day, no matter what it looks like, Lord, you have given me the victory.
Amen.
No matter what it looks like. And so that was that man that you're sharing, you know, his attitude, you know, whether or not we don't know if he's a believer or not, but that his attitude spoke of that. Like, even though it was a place of lost or a place of suffering, he didn't stay there.
Nope.
His perspective remained the same, you know, like, okay, this is what I have to walk. I'm going to learn new ways in that. I'm going to learn new ways. And this is what it's saying in the scripture. Like, there's a new level of God that we get to know. There's a new level of God we experience. And there's a new level of just walking with him. And this is what we've been asking for, the more, and asking for the fresh, and asking to go deeper. All of that has to do with places along our journey that we're going to have loss, and we're going to have some form of suffering. But what are we going to produce, and what's going to come out of us? And
I mean, it's like, you know, once you know, once you have the assurance that he's with you, then I'm not saying it's going to be easy to go through things, but the more you know him, the more you're going to know that he works everything out to his own end, but for your good and for his glory. You know, in Psalm 34:19 says, "Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all." All of them, he delivers you, whether it's just the way that he decides he's going to do it. That's the promise. You know, like a lot of times I think people stop short because they're like, well, you know, does God really want to heal me, or does God really want to, you know, say you, you know, if you had some kind of act like this guy, this parachute guy, you know, if you were, maybe you're an athlete, you know, and you were going to go pro or something, and then something like this happens to you, you know, how do you reconcile that? You know, that it's all, it has to be the attitude.
He gets us there. I truly believe he gets us there. Even if at that moment we're responding kind of differently, you know, and because it's kind of shocking when you first receive bad news, you know, and when you go through something. I don't know if you follow this lady on Instagram, but she had just recently lost her husband. I think he had, was it ALS? I don't know, or just a four. Yeah, and I think it just took her husband really quickly. But the way she honored her husband, the way she stewarded that process of pain and suffering, knowing that her husband was not little by little, but being overtaken, you know, to the point that he was barely even breathing or swallowing, you know, and but she said, but my husband had a great attitude. You know, he was a believer, and he would just never focus on that, never focus on the pain, never focus what was taken away, what was, you know, what was he afflicted with, any of it. He still tried to be that father, even though he was in bed. He still tried to cuddle with his children. He might not be able to run around and play, but he would play in the bed and let the children just jump all over him, and he wouldn't be able to move, and still be that loving husband that he was when all of his body parts were working the way it should. So I don't know. I think this is just a very important topic to talk about, because like you said, we are going to be walking into sometimes, you know, that double-edged sword, and we need to just trust in the Lord and walk in his peace. And again, Philippians 1:29 says, for unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, nor only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. And Colossians 1:24 says, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. And James 5:10-11, it says, take my brethren the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. And you saw what happened in Job's life in the end. And that shall happen to the follower of Christ.
Amen. And you know, when his wife said, why don't you just curse God and die? You know, that's like the, you know, like, forget everything, just curse God and die. Yeah, that's what the enemies, you know, would want you to do. Curse God and die.
Oh, yeah.
And be miserable in your afflictions, or be miserable in your hardships.
Yeah, and that wife was an example of not cursing God. She just stood, you know, at his side. And she did what she had to do, and she didn't leave his side. And she ended up working from home and everything, because she didn't work at all. He was the main sole provider. But God made an avenue for her to be on social media to gain, you know, revenue and stuff. And God provided just so she can stay, like, right by his side and care for him, because she wasn't going to have anybody else care for him. I mean, it's just a beautiful picture. Just these stories that we heard today, they're real stories. One from someone that we don't know whether or not he was walking with Christ, and one that we saw the fruit of what it was walking with Christ in suffering. And it's just, he's God. There's no question about it. Oh my goodness, those without God today, Christ, I welcome you.
Right.
Take a seat at his table. There's a seat at his table. And to do this life alone and without him is not having life at all. Mm-mm. Truly isn't.
No, it's hard to even think about it. You know, I've been saved many years, and I remember what it was like without the Lord. You know, just nothing. There was nothing there. I was just wandering around aimlessly. Just did whatever I did on any particular day, and no direction. Just, you know, led around by friends, led around by, you know, family. You know, just doing what, just go along for the ride with everybody else. That's what I did most of my younger years. Just, well, let's just jump in the car, and so-and-so has a car and a license, so let's just go with them and drive around all night long, you know, till 2-3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
You know, but what is that?
Yeah.
No direction at
no
all.
No direction. I had no direction. I was so, so lost. I didn't have a clear vision, a clear goal for that matter. I was full of insecurities and fear, and I was thinking about that the other day, exactly, when I was living in Miami, and I said, wow, again, I was just so thankful that the Lord pulled me out. And I remember, you know, we had lost a friend because he got into like some major drugs and stuff, and I don't know, for whatever reason, I was looking at that as like the ways that the hand of God was on me to protect me and keep me to a point, you know, like there were still boundaries set.
Right.
These supernatural boundaries that only the mercy of God can do when he's living at the sidelines. But when you let him in, and you let him in to and make him Lord of your life, and you recognize him through the lens of salvation, what he did for you, oh wow, it's like, like, you know, like I just look at myself and I'm like, thank you, Lord. Right. You had my parents pick me up at a U-Haul truck, bring me down to West Palm, and then trickled my way to Port St. Lucie. But wow, lots of stories, guys. If you ever want to hear any of our stories,
right.
It's all just glorifying him and who he's been in our lives. And again, we want our listeners to value that and to be encouraged and strengthened. And this is not a time to be lukewarm. If any of you are walking through some suffering, know that he's with you. Know that he's taking you to a higher place in him. Mm-hmm. Know that there's an end to suffering, and he has you. And just lean on him today. Call upon him today. Whatever you need, you know he's the source. You know he's going to provide it. And get in that place. Get in that place. See what it is that you need to, what are the requirements in that moment? Is it thankfulness? Mm-hmm. Is it to start being thankful? Is it to start praising him? Is it to start singing hymns and songs of who he is and your focus, his eyes, you know, your eyes being on him? Whatever it is, if it's stomping the ground and quoting the scriptures over your life and situation, whatever it is, he will bring you through. He will bring you through.
Amen. And I do feel like the Lord's always right there waiting for you. I saw a picture the other day on Instagram, of course, that someone had drawn a picture of Jesus sitting in the chair, and then this little girl was coming up to him, and, you know, it says, cast all your cares upon him. And she was handing him something. I don't know what it was, but
aww.
It was like, it was such a great picture. So be like a little kid and go to the Lord and let him heal all your wounds and, you know, fix everything up for you and help you move forward in life.
Mm-hmm.
So that's all the time we have today, and we will sign off and see you next week.
See you next week.
Join me again next Friday at 11 a.m. as we bring forth more treasures out of the hidden places.
In all the hidden-